Right. Here we are. I'm going to move this for a second. We've been talking about God of the Movies coming, right? We've been hearing from Aaron and Chris. Thank you. That has been awesome. And today's the day. The first sermon series of God at the Movies is here. Yes, that's right. This is something that we do every year. A lot of us really, really look forward to it. It's really exciting. It's an exciting time to invite people. But I know that some of you might also be asking, why? Why do we do this? Why do we do this series every year? So let me start by asking a different question. Why do people watch movies? I mean, they're entertaining, right? It's something fun to do with other people. And really, I think it's an escape from reality, right? It's a chance to experience a life that's different from your own. And they usually have a resolution to the story, a satisfying conclusion that we don't often experience in our own lives, right? But we get to experience that in a movie, that feeling of completeness. It's done. They also generate an emotional response in us, okay? Right? Tell me if I'm right here, if you felt the indignation of discovering who Luke's father was. No, that's not true. That's impossible. The absolute despair that I felt when Thanos snapped his fingers. And then waiting, but then feeling the relief when Captain America hears Sam tell him, on your left. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're missing out, okay? And then truly, the awe-inspiring wonder, maybe the goosebumps of hearing Dorothy sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then whether we realize it or not, these movies are having an impact on our lives. They're impacting our culture, right? So that's what this sermon series is. This is how we engage with culture. This is what equips us to understand our own interaction with movies and prepares us to have conversations with others about it. Because we look at the themes in each of the movies that we're watching, and then we say, how does this connect, or how does this conflict with the Bible? And what we should be asking this question, not just about movies, but really about every area in our lives, is, what does God say about this? So, what does God say about The Wizard of Oz? I want to tell you guys that I chose The Wizard of Oz. I requested it specifically because it's my all-time favorite movie. I don't know if you guys saw earlier the question on there that said, what's your favorite childhood movie? Yes, The Wizard of Oz is mine. When I was little, I would watch this movie like on repeat over and over and over again. Thankfully, my grandparents had a tape that just didn't wear out because it was constant. And I know, like, I've talked to others recently about this, and they're like, how did you watch that? There's some scary moments in that movie. But apparently, I was just, you know, oblivious to that as a child, because I even dressed up as Dorothy for Halloween when I was 4 years old. There I am. Yes, with you and I had my little Toto, you can't see. And yes, those are my brothers. You can ignore them. I do. But really, in the movie, something that I love is this moment when Dorothy steps into the bright and colorful world of Oz, right? This is probably why I really like bright and colorful things. You can tell by my computer and a lot of things that I have. When I was thinking about my life and the impact that this movie has had on me, I realized, okay, it's impacted me more than I even realized. The welcome mat in front of my home says, "There's no place like home," obviously. My ringtone on my phone is the song "Over the Rainbow." And I even named my car Dorothy. By the way, Dorothy means God's gift. So, you know, I'm just saying. So it's impacted me. I'm sure it's impacted a lot of you. So I want to talk also about some of the themes that we hear in this movie. But before we talk about the themes, I have some interesting facts about this movie. The Wizard of Oz premiered on August 25th, 1939. That is 87 years ago. What that means is the spoiler warning has expired, okay? So I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. You might find out a little bit about what happened. 87 years, okay? It is one of the most watched movies of all time. A lot of that is because it was playing on television, and so people were watching it on TV. And they even did this research study, that concluded that it was the most influential movie of all time. This movie influenced other movies, influenced people, but it wasn't always the case. When it was first released, it was a box office disappointment. It hardly made any money. And prior to that, during filming, there was like setback after setback. There was toxic makeup on the actors. Actors had to be replaced because of that. There was injuries on set. The Wicked Witch, or the actress that plays the Wicked Witch, when she goes into the hole in Munchkin Land and the smoke and flame, she actually got burned, like severely, and had to recover for months. But she still came back. They went through four different directors over the course of filming this movie. And this one I couldn't believe. They cut the song "Over the Rainbow" from the movie three different times because they said, it's too slow. It's not for kids. They're not going to get it. But thankfully, someone with brains had decided to keep the song in. Because then it went on to win an Oscar for Best Original Song. There are so many more facts, but I won't keep going with that. I want to talk about some of the themes. Here we go. Power of friendship, right? We see this group, they get to know each other, they become friends, they learn that life is better when you don't try to navigate everything by yourself. That's biblically true. That is true. We can say that. God doesn't want us to be alone. Another theme is self-doubt and self-discovery. Because each of the characters in the movie, they believe that they're lacking something essential. They need a brain, a heart. They need courage. And they go through this journey only to discover that they had it all along. They had what they were looking for. Sounds familiar. Home and belonging is another big theme of this movie. And they learn that, especially Dorothy learns, that home is not just a physical place. It's a place where you feel safe and where you feel loved. So even when she is away from home, she's learning what the true meaning of home is. But the big one that I really want to focus on today is the value of the journey. So Dorothy, the entire movie, her desire is to just go home, right? Because there's no place like home. But her journey there is not easy. Just like her companions, she actually has the answer from the beginning. Her shoes. But she doesn't truly understand that until she's gone through all the ups and downs of this journey, right? She has to learn that along the way. Glinda, the good witch, tells her, "You've always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself." And this is where the movie veers away from biblical truth, okay? Because for us, we can't really accomplish anything with our own power. We can try, but we won't actually accomplish anything. We may have a brain and a heart and even courage, but it is God's power that works within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. But we're still on a journey in this life, and we know that it's not always an easy journey, just like Dorothy's. So then we have to ask, what does God say about this? So as I was like praying and preparing for this, I was asking God, what are you saying about this? What in scripture do you want me to hear? What do you want us to hear? And he directed me to Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament was the person that God called to help lead his people, the Israelites, into the promised land. The promised land is the home that God had set apart for them. So Joshua's whole life was a journey to go home. But he wasn't just relying on his own power. He was obediently trusting in God. So I really want to dig into this a little more by reading in the Word. So I would like to invite up my scripture reader for this service, McKenna. Will you join us? We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Will you please stand for this scripture reading? And the reason we stand is because this is how we appreciate and show gratitude and praise to God by saying, I'm listening to you with my whole body, right? Okay. And if you want to read along, it's on page 181. Yes, McKenna, here's the mic.
Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land, and I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate it on a day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord of your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, McKenna. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your reminder. We thank you that you are present and with us even when we're all watching movies. God, help us to be open to receiving what you have to say today, what you are putting upon our hearts and our brains, our minds, our souls. God, help us to hear you, to receive your truth. In your name, Lord, amen. All right, so Joshua, the scripture that we just read, this is what God told Joshua just as he was beginning his journey as the leader of the Israelites, beginning the journey into the promised land. It's the beginning of his journey home, right? It's where God's people would now feel safe and loved and at peace. A land flowing with milk and honey. But Joshua's journey actually began much earlier. I didn't really think about this before. I don't know why, but Joshua was born in Egypt with all of the Israelites when they were still slaves to Pharaoh. That means that he was there for the plagues, for the Passover, for the parting of the Red Sea. He experienced that. He was on the journey, the escape from Egypt. as they were following their leader, Moses. Moses was faithfully serving God, freeing his people. And Joshua was there. And then they come to the edge of the promised land. It really wasn't that far from where they were. And they send out a recon mission, and Joshua is part of that. He's part of this recon mission into the Canaanite territory that God had promised them. And when they came back from this mission, Joshua and Caleb were the only men to come back with a positive report about the land. This is what they said. This is in Numbers 14. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Joshua came with encouragement, trusting in the Lord. "The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid." He was prepared to faithfully follow and obey wherever God had called them. But the rest of the crew wasn't ready. Okay? They were afraid of what they saw. They were so afraid that they then sowed seeds of fear in the rest of the Israelites, telling them, "No, don't go. We shouldn't go. It's going to be too hard, too difficult, too scary. We can't do that." They let that fear take control of their lives. So much so that they even wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. And this fear led to disobedience of God. Because they wanted to hold on to the control of what they already knew. They didn't want to trust in God's power or God's plan. And so even though they were right there on the verge of entering the promised land, they couldn't go in. Instead, they had to wander the desert for 40 years. They were like walking around in circles, you guys. They were so close. And Joshua followed them. Joshua was with them. Even though he had been one that was ready, he had to be part of the setback. Joshua remained strong and courageous, not because of his own power, but because of his obedience to God. He faithfully continued the journey, and he learned from Moses. He followed Moses. He became an assistant to Moses. He learned everything from him, trusting what God was saying to him through Moses, right? And after all those 40 years of wandering, all of those people who had lived in fear and who had tried to hold on to their own control were dead. They were gone. And the only people from the original generation that was allowed to now enter into the promised land was Caleb and Joshua. Because they were obedient. And he obeyed God's commands to lead his people home. This is really significant. Joshua. Do you know what the name Joshua means? Joshua is a Hebrew name. It means Yahweh is deliverer or salvation. God used Joshua to save his people. His name means God saves us. And here's what's really fun. Joshua in the Greek, if you were to translate it, the name is Jesus. That's right. Yeshua. Joshua is Jesus. Jesus means salvation. His name literally means salvation. He is our salvation. He saved the Israelites through Joshua. He brought them home to a home of physical rest, physical safety. But God knew that we were living in a sinful and broken world, and that that would prevent us from experiencing true rest with Him. And so that's why He has a bigger plan for salvation, not just for the Israelites, but for the whole world through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is incredible news for us, okay? We should be excited about this. Don't take this for granted. Because did you know Joshua, he didn't have personal access, internal access to the power of the Holy Spirit within him. But when we declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we have access to that power. Do you know how incredible that is? And this is just the beginning of our journey with God. Because He has an eternal home prepared for us. An eternal home, a perfect place of joy and peace, and no more tears, and no more sorrow, and no more pain. And it's there waiting for us, and that is what we are looking forward to. But right now, we're still here on this earth. We have God working within us, but we still have broken bodies. We still have a broken world. And so as we continue on this journey, we will continue to experience trials. We'll still struggle to maintain or gain control over our lives. Anytime we experience fear, not wanting to move forward, not wanting to do something, that is us saying, no, I have control of that. I want that. I can do it. I have the power, right? Because this is what happens, right? When something unexpected happens, at least this is how it works for me. You know, maybe you guys don't experience this. I'll just tell you how I feel. When something unexpected happens or something doesn't go my way, my thoughts kind of start to spiral, right? I can get caught up in the fear and the anxiety and the worry. Well, what if this doesn't work out? What if they get hurt? What if I get sick? What if my family gets hurt? What if something bad happens to them, to me? And if you can sit with that for too long and get caught up, it's swirling around you like a twister, just like Dorothy experienced, right? A twister of anxiety and worries, and we're caught up and we're stuck in this torrent of everything that we can't control. What do we do? I had a moment like this recently, very recently. Last weekend, my family did something crazy. We got a dog. Yeah. Hang on, I need to take a drink before I tell this story. We got a dog, the sweetest, sweetest boy, Toby. Sweet, sweet dog. And we wanted to go, we were planning a visit to my parents, and they live over in like the Santa Cruz Mountains area. We already had the visit planned before we got the dog, and then I was like, okay, well, I guess we gotta bring the dog with us, okay? So then we bring the dog with us to their house. Now, here's what's important to know about the geography of my parents' area, okay? Not only is it on like a mountainy area, the place they live, the little like housing area, is called Triple Creek Woods. Triple Creek Woods because there are three creeks or rivers. One of them is literally the San Lorenzo River that are surrounding where their property is. And it all kind of like pours into a lake, and it can be really fun when you're out there playing. But it's not always fun at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday when the dog gets out and gets off his leash and then we can't find him. Yeah. And that wasn't my fault, but it was it was somebody that's in this room, and you can talk to her about it later. And this is late at night, and here comes my daughter in, running into the house. I don't know where the dog is. I can't find the dog. I don't know where he went. And there's woods and there's rivers, and she's freaking out. And now I'm like, we've only had this dog for a week. We're still fostering him. We're never going to have a dog again. What am I going to do? And my parents and Justin, we're all out looking and getting flashlights, and it's dark. There's no lights there. They're in the mountains. Oh, also, sorry, no, they don't just live by rivers. They live on a highway, though, in the mountains, like a mountain highway. So, yeah, like every possible bad scenario is flashing through my mind. The dog is hit by a car. The dog is in the river. What do we do? And I'm out there, and I'm calling, Toby, Toby, where are you? And I'm kind of like frantically searching, right? We're all out there frantically searching. And this is this moment of like, oh. And then I hear, hey, are you looking for a dog? I'm like, yes, yes, where are you? It's so dark out here. And literally, like, I see across the river, I'm not kidding you guys, like, the embankment, I think is the word, is so steep. Like, you cannot get down to the river from where I am. But across the river on the other side is more houses, and there's stairs leading down to the river on their side. And there's a lady out there. And I'm like, yes, yes, I'm looking for a dog. And she's like, I think I see him. I think I see him across where you are. I'm like, what? And so I'm calling, and then I hear this little... And I'm like, where is he though? And ultimately, we realize he has fallen down this embankment and miraculously did not fall into the river. He's stuck in these vines on this cliff, basically. But it's too steep and too far down for us to get him. There's no way for us to go around. The lady's like, she sees him, and I'm just like, I don't know. So I know where he is, but like, I guess he's going to die out there. Like, I don't know. And then I'm like, is this like an emergency? Like, do you call 911 for this kind of emergency? My mom is like Googling it. Do you call 911 if a dog is missing? And we do. I did end up calling 911, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to send the fire department, which thankfully the fire department is like just down the street from my parents' house. And they're like, okay, we're on our way, but you need to wait out by the highway. I'm like, cool. It's the middle of the night. I'm in my pajamas on the highway waiting for the firefighter to rescue this dog. Guess what? The firefighter came. He did not rescue the dog. That is not who God was sending to rescue the dog. God sent a guardian angel. That woman across the way on the stairs went back up to her house and came back with a raft. Okay? She came back with a raft and rafted across the river to where the dog is. So I'm out with finding the firefighter. I go over there, find them, and here's this lady, probably like 70 years old, on the side of the cliff with a dog. I can't make this up. This is crazy. And now, all of this, okay, I'm telling you this is exactly how it felt. Like, it was just crazy. I did, thankfully, remember to pray. I did remember, as I was sitting there on the side of the highway, pray, God, please rescue this dog. My daughter's on the ground in the dirt crying. We don't know how to get this dog. I don't know what to do. God, what do we do? And I did experience peace. My mom was with me, and she's like, okay, let's talk about some other things to get your mind off of this. Those other people in our lives, right, that do that for us. And so then, yes, he sent this rescuer. She comes with the raft. She gets him, who's afraid of water also, by the way, this dog, onto the raft. Okay, I'm sorry. I just have to go air some beef with the firefighter, because the guy was like, okay, we're going to drive across. Somebody's going to drive with me across the way. We'll get the dog once she gets him over there. He doesn't even wait for her to get the dog in. He just leaves. And my husband leaves with him. And they take all the flashlights. And I'm like, this poor lady's in the dark now. We're all in the dark. But I find a little flashlight. I see she's getting him on the raft. And then I hear pop. Yes, the raft popped. And then, I know. And then I hear swimming. She swam across the river with the dog. Yes, please. She rescued this dog. She swam across the river. My husband there finds out that she's a retired zookeeper. I mean, God is incredible, right? And just to prove that everything's okay, here's the family with the dog. Yeah, this is after the fact, okay? I know. I didn't get a picture of, I did reward her greatly, you guys. I brought rewards the next day. But this is the next day. The river is behind us there, the smaller river. He didn't get trapped there. He got trapped in the giant river. But he's okay. My family's okay. We made it through. But so you just never know when these moments are going to happen, right? You never know when these stories are going to happen. You never know when you're going to get caught up in this twister of thoughts and anxiety going around you. So then I wonder, what do we do? What do we do when we're facing a twister, right? One thing that helps is to stop looking at it around you like this, okay? And look at it from the top down. Because when you look at it from the top down, it's no longer spiraling and swirling, it's a circle. And I would call this, it might be hard for you guys to read, but the circle of control. And we can see that it's no longer a swirling vortex. We can see that when you look outside of the circle where all those thoughts, all those things are, that's out of your control. You don't have control over people's perception of you, over how other people feel about you, about the people's opinions of others, about the weather, about what will happen when your dog gets loose. You don't have control over God's timing, over what tomorrow will bring. You don't have control over that. So don't stay there in the outside. Focus on what is on the inside, the internal. This is what you can control. You can control how you treat other people. You can control how you respond in these situations. You can control your gratitude, your words, your thoughts, how you spend your time. You can control how you walk with faith following God. Because what else is in the center with us? In that peaceful center is Jesus Christ. He brings us peace, and it is his power that is in us. His power reminding us that God is in control. Because I want to tell you something incredible. God is in control of the external and the internal and the eternal. Eternally in control of all of these things. And so just like Joshua, we can face our fears with strength and courage when we trust and obey God. So I want to bring us back to those words in Joshua 1 that God told Joshua as he began his journey into the homeland. Because his journey it wasn't easy even then. He still had to face battles. He still had to trust God. Jericho, you don't want me to use weapon? Okay, all right. You know, but he did it. So here we go. Here's what God says. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Stay centered. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah is right. And so finally, what is our now takeaway from these words? What are our action steps that we can do? We can make it really simple here. Rely on God's presence. He is with you. We remember that He is with you by remembering all the ways He was with you in the past, by considering and thinking of all the ways that He is with you now, and by looking forward to all the ways that He will be with you in the future. He told Joshua, "The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then Jesus reminds us of those words. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is never not with us. But as we know, we get caught up, we forget. So how do we remind ourselves? By spending time in His Word. By studying this book. That's what He said. Study this book, the Bible. Read it. Learn from it. Grow in your knowledge and understanding. Meditate on it day and night. That doesn't mean you need to have your nose in the Bible all like this all the time. But your nose doesn't have to be there, but your mind needs to be there. Because if you're studying it, and then you're remembering it, and then you're reflecting on it, and then it's in your mind, and then you're hearing the Word and being reminded of Scripture, even when it's not right in front of you, God is bringing it to your mind. He's guiding you, because He says, then, only then, will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And then, to make sure we really remember this, we keep repeating it. We do it again. In this short 3 verses of Scripture, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous 3 times. He likes that number 3, you know. He knows that we need to be reminded, so we just keep doing it again. We forget, and we do it again. We get caught up, we slow down, we remember, we reflect. The Wizard of Oz impacted my life because of how often I watched it. I didn't even have to watch the whole thing before this sermon, because I've watched it so many times, okay? But the real impact that I want to experience and that I want us to experience is the power and salvation of God. So, final thought. Rely on His presence, spend time in His Word, and keep repeating it. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, we thank You so much for this journey. We thank You that even when we are still in this broken world, experiencing ups and downs and trials, tribulations, that You are there. We thank You for Your presence. with us now. We thank you for how you've been with us in the past. We are so thankful and hopeful for our future with you, for our perfect home with you. Help us to remember to rely on you. Help us to be in your word, learning and growing, and spending time with you. And help us to just keep repeating it, even when we forget, when we mess up, to come back to you and repeat it again and again. God, I pray this over everybody who hears this message today. In your name, amen.